soccer matters.
Quickshot score! The US with Dempsey!
To Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro, remate en el gol! Gol de oro! Gol de oro! Gol de Oribe!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Senate Avenue Brewing Company in Jersey Village. Here's Glenn Davis.
Lots of movement ahead of him. Lamine Yamal deflected and in. Barcelona have turned it all around. Well, that is extraordinary. Who would have thought it? In stoppage time, Barcelona get what looks like a winner that might send them back to the top of La Liga.
By the way, that was Barcelona scoring four goals in 15 minutes to come back against Atletico Madrid and win 4-2. That's just remarkable because you figure that could be the difference potentially in winning the title now. So they now are first place in La Liga. Is one Barcelona, and we do have a Houston Coolis. We do have a group in Houston that's a big, big supporters group for Barcelona, like we do many teams, including Tigres of Mexico, including the Houston Dynamo, and much, much more. So welcome back to Senate Avenue Brewery here. We continue on. Nice little group of guys here that are certainly involved in the game of soccer in a lot of ways. We've got a lot of great guests coming in here tonight. My next two guests come in here courtesy of Little Patagonia Empanadas and Cafe from Argentina. The best in empanadas, chicken, beef, pork, you name it, they have them. It's our good friend Sebastian Abraham, Little Patagonia Empanadas and Cafe, both here in Houston and in Austin. And by the way, they're in Austin FC's stadium. So that's the last time we'll mention Austin FC tonight. All right. Two great friends, two very young but very, very good podcasters and journalists that have a lot of experience already gathered. One is Deportes Houston, Deportes Nation. He is Victor Ariza. He joins us. And Arnaldo Lozano of La U Times, which focuses on Tigres. But these guys have a wider expanse, too, of other team things. So both Victor and Arnaldo, thanks for coming in tonight.
Yeah, Glenn, always a pleasure. Arnaldo,
pleasure meeting you both, too. Or having a pleasure meeting you for the first time, Victor. And Glenn, thank you for having me once again on your show. It's always an honor.
We appreciate it. All right, well, let's start off with this. MLS All-Star Game. I said I wasn't going to mention Austin again, but I have to because it's in Austin. MLS All-Star Game, MLS versus Liga MX All-Stars. Okay, I get the whole collaboration. Do you think, because I do, I think the whole U.S.-Mexico rivalry, I think the whole MLS-Liga MX rivalry has gotten soft. And it's gotten soft because of all this collaboration and money being made from the two groups. Agree or disagree, Arnaldo?
I definitely agree with you. I think that because there's a lot more money involved through the competitions of the Leagues Cup and at times the MLS seriousness to the approach of the CONCACAF, Champions League, I feel like that has caused a little bit of a distance.
You don't think MLS is serious about CONCACAF?
I think because
we just don't get results.
I think because of the calendar, you don't get the positive results, and therefore the interest, except for the teams that are able to attract the high market players.
Victor?
I agree from the MLS side of it. I think the MLS fan maybe doesn't put as much of a priority on that rivalry with Liga MX. I think if you ask Mexican fans, they want to beat the U.S. teams. They don't care if it's a friendly. They don't care if it's CONCACAF. They want to win. And I think maybe that's just a difference in culture. But I think from that side of the border, they don't want to lose to MLS teams.
I hope that attitude's there because sometimes I'm not sure. But like tomorrow night, I'm going to go to the El Salvador game in the Dynamo. Okay? There's not any buzz about it. There is in the Spanish community.
As always.
Salvadorian fans are going to come out. I don't know what the crowd's going to be. I'm going to predict 13, 14,000.
It's still going to be a party for the Salvadoran.
It's going to be a party. It's going to be full. It's going to be a World Cup-type atmosphere. Why is it, Arnaldo, that the Houston Dynamo MLS fan does not take to these games, does not take to Atlas in the League Cup, which to me are the most and can be some of the most unique and interesting games?
I think you have to go to the root of it. And what are we doing as an organization, specifically the Houston Dynamo, in attracting high marketable players that relate to the community? You were mentioning earlier on about a lot of South Americans coming on to play for the Houston Dynamo. But I think that, you know, even if those guys are coming, it's finding a higher profile player. You know, we had Hector Herrera recently. You had attendance. The team was playing much
better.
But
I stop you there. Did it do that much for the gate? Never filled the stadium. I mean, everybody thought it was going to fill the stadium. No.
But it's been a struggle since the beginning for the Dynamo. I think that collectively, I think that they still have a lot to do to reach out to the community. And I mentioned it to you prior when I was coaching high school soccer. There's so many kids out there playing that are fans of the Mexican League, but they are a fan ultimately of the game. And it's so easy to attract young players and get them to buy into the Houston Dynamo organization, and that's through community outreach events and reaching out to maybe connecting with high school soccer coaches to continue to attract young talent to the Dynamo Stadium.
He's Arnaldo Lozano. He's Lau Times. You should follow him. We'll get you a Tigres question before we're done here. I'm going to go to Victor. But real quick, can a Tigres fan be a Dynamo fan?
Absolutely. Okay. I have a couple jerseys, and I'm not originally from the Houston area. I moved to Houston, you know, when I was a teenager, and eventually I became a fan of the Houston Dynamo. Obviously, I prioritized Tigres because that's the passion that it was instilled in me through my father and my family. But at the end of the day, I'm a Houston Dynamo fan as well.
Through his father and his family. Remember that. All right, Victor, same thing. Can Liga MX fans be fans of the Dynamo or Major League Soccer teams?
Absolutely. Just the same way that you can be a fan of a Premier League team and support the Dynamo or La Liga team. I think, yeah, I think you have to build that bridge. You have to go and win those fans over. In the older days, since we're honoring the 20 seasons of the Houston Dynamo, those Pachuca games or in Interliga games at Robertson Stadium, I think they did a lot to win fans over for the Houston Dynamo.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that sort of has been lost. And, you know, again, tomorrow's a good opportunity to win some of those fans over being in that stadium. I don't know that it will happen. Could have been bigger. Could have been a chance to honor the roots between the Salvadoran community with the Houston Dynamo, which was big in the early days. You know, even if few and far between, you could honor the Salvadoran players that play for the Houston Dynamo tomorrow night. Darwin Seren is going to be playing for the Salvadoran national team. Arturo Alvarez, a product of the Houston community, who played with the Salvadoran national team.
Get the consulate out there. Get a few pupusa trucks there.
Yeah.
Celebrate the culture.
Exactly.
I just wish we did more with these games. I know this game is not being promoted by the Dynamo. It's being promoted by Primetime Sports and another group. But I see these as missed opportunities.
Right.
I really do. And I do think the Dynamo tomorrow night, whatever you're doing with your team, you want to win that game and you want to play well.
And that's a question,
and
right?
And it's a tricky game in that way because, you know, if you want to give a lot of people playing time, which I'm sure Ben Olsen does, and he mentioned today in the press conference mixed squad.
Right.
But this makes it a tricky game because you have an opportunity to win people over. Victor?
Absolutely. But I do think that we'll use I think Olsen said today he's going to use pretty much a backup squad, and then the starters will come in
second half.
That's what I understood. So, which you understand because they play this weekend against Seattle, and that, you know, that counts for points. And but again, you could potentially win this game. I don't know if we think too much of the El Salvador national team, and we'll see. We'll see if they can get it done.
No, it'll be prideful. There's no doubt about that.
And they're going to be the away team, officially and actually.
Yeah, for sure. We're talking to from La U Times, Arnaldo Lozano, and we're talking from Deportes Houston, Victor Ariza. Arnaldo, let me give you a Tigres question. You know, Belko Panovich was on my show the last time Tigres invaded Houston. They drew 45,000 people to play Inter-Miami at Energy Stadium. Unbelievable turnout. They came here. They did press conferences and all kinds of things. Belko's gone. What happened?
I think it was a combination of leadership attributes and poor management as far as game time decisions and in-game situations. As a coach, you cannot hold a press conference and state to the press and tell your players that even though you don't like me, go out there and win. So I think there was a big clash in terms of the leadership that it's current with the players. You know, we're talking about the Andre Pierginiacs, the Noel Guzmans.
So he lost the locker room.
He lost the locker room. And it was evidently clear from the get-go. You know, I mentioned, you know, at the time the play style that he was looking to implement lasted about 8 games or so. And as the season progressed and then into the season, it just looked like a very stale team. And ultimately, Tigres made a decision, and they made a big decision by Guido Pizarro taking over, our captain and legendary player, being the new head coach for Tigres.
Was that pretty wild?
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
This guy literally went from the field.
Saturday night, he played 90 minutes.
One night, and is now the head coach. I mean, this is as unique as you ever see in the sport of soccer.
And we won. 2-1 victory on the road against Necaxa, a team that's hot under Larcamón, who typically does really well in Liga MX with these clubs. And, you know, they play exciting soccer. They have the leading scorer in Diver Cambindo. And, like I said, Guido Pizarro played 90 minutes on Saturday night, and he woke up Sunday morning being the head coach.
He's going to be named the Mexican national team coach next week. Just kidding. All right, Victor, Mexican national team has Canada on Thursday, Nations League. Your thoughts on the national team overall right now?
It would be nice to get a trophy to get some faith back, some faith restored. I think that's certainly why they brought Vasco back. He's going to be coaching his third World Cup if all things go his way, right? Or at least that's the plan. But absolutely, they're going after this trophy because they need it for confidence. They need it to sort of retake the flag of the Giants of CONCACAF.
Victor Ariza joining us here, Deportes Houston. We're at Senate Avenue Brewery, and we're talking with both Victor and Arnaldo Lozano of La U Times. Where does the Nations League sit for you? I think this is very important for the U.S. Being the hosts of the World Cup, not going to get a lot of competition. Don't have to go through a qualification process. A little bit different. I think this is huge for the U.S. I think it's huge for Mexico. And, of course, it is for Panama and Canada as well.
And I think it's going to be a tight competition. I think they're in really good form. Canada has, you know, shown as of late that they're here to compete. You talked about Pulisic earlier being the greatest American soccer player to ever play for the U.S. I think he's in an excellent moment and form, and I think he's ready to lead once again his country to another hardware.
Victor?
Let's not overlook Panama. I think the U.S. has had tough luck taking away that friendly, which was Pochettino's debut. You know, they eliminated them from the Gold Cup on penalties. They gave them a loss in the Copa America. So Panama certainly seems to have the U.S.'s number. I know it's a new manager, but maybe mentally, listen, they have nothing to lose. And that'll be a good test, I think, for the U.S.
Right. Who do you vote for, the U.S. or Mexico? I mean, you're both.
Yeah. I like them both.
You pick both national teams. So what if they play against each other?
You know, but may the best win.
Oh, I like that. All right, it's nice to have two teams.
Yeah.
It's nice to have two teams. All right, I want to take you guys into a quote here. New blood, new ideas, new energy. Someone coming in and taking MLS properly into the 21st century and trying to build it into one of the top leagues. MLS realistically is the only league in the world that can rival the Premier League considering the power of the country and the willingness of top players to play in the U.S. But for that to happen, a new MLS has to emerge. This was an anonymous MLS executive talking about the current MLS and what might happen and what needs to happen maybe.
Right.
Maybe we've gotten, you know, comfortable with Don Garber and the way it's been run, but it needs fresh ideas. Your thoughts on that quote?
Absolutely. I agree with that. I think that comfortability is definitely a factor. I think that the MLS was very worried or paying attention to expanding and growing the teams out through various cities. But now it's about looking at the game itself and the league itself and what rules can we change or, you know, modify in order to continue to attract big-time players. As you know, there's always rumors of European players coming to the MLS. So something to look at.
Victor, real quick.
I wish it wasn't anonymous. I wish somebody, an executive, would put their name to this quote and plant the flag and say it, well, and admit it.
Yeah, there's where we'll start. Let's have a little bit more transparency. Everybody in MLS, including coaches, players, people running the league, let's have a little more transparency. It would do well. It would get you more interest. It would get you more trust. I wish that would happen too. Good for you on nailing that one. All right, we're going to take a break.
Let's hope somebody can build up some bravery.
Yeah. Victor Ariza, Deportes Houston, Arnaldo Lozano, Lau Times. Guys, thanks so much for coming up here tonight.
Thank you.
And thanks for your wisdom on the air.
Always.
All right.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break. This is a band called The Big Pink, called Dominoes. Cactus Music always gets a reference there. Good stuff there from Victor Ariza and Arnaldo Lozano. Just want to mention here that as we go to break, we want to remind you that LSSE.net, you get over to that for the Gold Cup final, and you can get yourself priority for buying tickets. And like we were just talking about, it could be Canada, could be Mexico, could be the U.S., could be Panama, could be a surprise. But it is a Gold Cup final for the first time ever in Houston. Go to LSSE.net. Caller number 3 right now gets a pair of tickets to the Dynamo taking on El Salvador tomorrow night as the visitors at Shell Energy Stadium.
ESPN 97.5. Is Soccer Matters
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Senate Avenue Brewing Company in Jersey Village. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Senate Avenue Brewery. As we continue on here, beautiful spot here out in Jersey Village. By the way, you might live in the Heights. You might live downtown. This is an easy shot up 290. And we've had Josh Gardner on, the former Major League Soccer player. Just had Victor Ariza. We just had also from Lau Times, our great friend Arnaldo Lozano. And we continue on here now with some World Cup 2026 talk. That is Van Halen, Beautiful Girls, Cactus Music. We'll appreciate that very well, one of our great sponsors. So welcome back here to 7th Avenue Brewery. Call in number 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. So two great friends of mine right now that I think are doing amazing work in our community in bringing awareness to the World Cup, and we're going to talk about a bunch of their different projects. We start with the Dutchman. He is Jean-Luc Blackburn. He is with Team Houston. And, of course, the artist Batiri, who's got a bunch of balls juggling in the air as well, both these guys. So, first off, Batiri, Jean-Luc, it's always good to see you. You know that.
Always happy to be here.
Yeah, we're excited you're here.
Thank you,
Jean-Luc, I'm going to start with you. Team Houston, give us the Cliff Notes version of what it is and how it can affect people heading towards World Cup 2026.
So Team Houston was started by some passionate Europeans who love soccer, but they also love business. And we realized that the business community and the creative community in Houston need a lot of more knowledge about soccer leading up to the World Cup, right? So we want everybody to be informed about soccer as an opportunity, not only to enjoy the sport, but also to do business. And that's why we started doing a whole bunch of events, which started out as just once a month event. I think we now do one a week or multiple per week.
And it's networking.
Take
us a little deeper into it.
Yeah, so it's networking. So basically what we try to do is to educate people around soccer, because there's a lot of people who do not know what soccer represents in terms of an opportunity. Right, it's the largest sport in the world. It's the fastest growing sport in the United States. It's the Gen Z sport. So if you're in a business and you want to associate yourself with a growing sport, the best sport, in our opinion, is soccer. and therefore we want to make people aware of that. We want to make them aware of not only the World Cup, right, because the World Cup is an opportunity in terms of, let's say, financially being involved for Fortune 500 companies. We're focusing more on the solopreneurs, small and medium business, mid-sized companies, of which we have hundreds of thousands in the larger metro area, and we want them all to be timely aware that something big is coming next year, and that already this year there are many opportunities, like the Gold Cup, like the Leagues Cup, to do all kind of things, from watch parties to bringing your clients to a soccer game, as we did on Sunday with the Dynamo. So lots of fun.
Very good, Jean-Luc. That's a good way. And we're going to come back to you on the small to mid-level business and how the World Cup can benefit them in a little bit more detail. Battiri the artist. So right here, we're going to raffle this off. This is one of his pieces when we come to break. It's a beautiful piece. I put it out online today at Glenn Davis Sock. So Battiri, you got a couple of interesting projects going on. Let's first enlighten everybody about the idea we had around Monday Night Football.
Yes.
Go
yes.
for it.
Well, that was your idea last year when I told you let's do some awareness around education about the World Cup. And you told me, why don't we do these screenings about past World Cup games? And I said, yes, that's a great idea. And as an artist, I like to execute on ideas. So I took your idea and really processed it in a... applied for a grant for the city of Houston, and it was approved. So now I'm working on the logistics, on everything, the places, the times, the dates, everything to put it all together. So we're starting next Monday, 24th March, at my gallery, and then we're going to keep doing every third Monday of the month all the way to December. So, yeah.
And these are World Cup finals. So the first one Correct. Is 1950. Who do yes. we have in the first one? And by the way, this is the pink, right? We
yes,
call it the
Casa Pink.
Casa
yeah.
Pink, which is Battiri's house. This reminds me of Diego Rivera and Frida Kahlo.
Yes.
Because
yes.
I saw the picture of it today. But yeah. it's very cool. Now, that's limited. We'll have some in bigger venues, and we're going to try to do
Correct.
One here at Senate Avenue.
Yes.
But this is limited, so you need to sign up for
Correct.
It.
Correct. Yes, it's the link is out there to register. And we're going to start with the final of 1950, which is, I mean, one of the most exciting finals, Maracanazo, Brazil, Uruguay. Mm. And we are going to have actually the association from Uruguay and the consul from Uruguay, so a lot of the supporters from Uruguay coming. They're so excited of reliving that game.
That moment.
Yes, so we're going to put it there with a whole atmosphere of watching a movie there or a game. So it's going to be great. That's going to be at 6 next Monday, March 24th.
You know what I love about this, Jean-Luc? I'm talking to John, talking to Battiri the artist. We're also talking to Jean-Luc Blackmorn, who is also the head of Team Houston. What I love about all this, and this is what attracted all of us to each other, was the fact that these are organic things. We're here at Senate Avenue Brewery, a small business, a guy that's going to cash in Andrew Mitchum on the World Cup and hope to have big World Cup parties here. I mean, this is what it's really about. And there's just so much fun to this when it's not overly, I don't know what the word is, corporate?
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah. When it's not organic.
But speak to your love of this, because I can tell how excited you are. You know, you grew up in the Netherlands. It's an incredible footballing country.
Yeah. No, look, I mean, the soccer experience is something unique. During, let's say, big international tournaments, for sure the World Cup, but likely also during the World Cup and the Leagues Cup, I mean, people from different countries come together, right, and they're enjoying the game. And outside of the game, they have a lot of fun. They have fun before the game and fun after the game. So it's just a very pleasant experience, a memorable experience. And then back to sort of like what we try to do as Team Houston is have all the companies like the one where we are today totally aware of what is coming, right? And that they start planning and testing their ideas and their activities already this year. Because once we have the drawing in December, I mean, everything is going to be set, right? I mean, the hotels are going to be booked, and the places are going to...
What do you think? 100,000, 150,000 people coming here?
I mean, I am thinking of very crazy numbers.
More, right? Depending on what country.
Depending on the countries, I mean, I take as reference what happened this summer in the Euros, when 110,000 of my country fellow men in orange went to Dortmund, and the stadium had maybe 4,000 of them, and the rest was outside. So I think we all need to prepare for a lot of people coming to the United States just for the experience outside of the stadium. That number will be largely bigger than the number that comes for inside the stadium.
Of course.
And so that's where the small and medium business can play, right? We're going to need all
But that's also, it's also the opportunity to be a part of a World Cup, even though you can't get a ticket. Or
Absolutely.
Maybe you can't afford a ticket.
Yep.
Because some of the stuff is just off the chains, right?
Yep.
Because it's about the money and monetizing it. But there are going to be people that travel here that don't go to a game, that spend a week or two in Houston just partying, being a part of soccer. Right, Petiri?
Correct.
I mean, this is much like this beautiful painting of yours here.
Thank you.
That brings football brings people together. That's what it says on here.
Well, and to your point, because I had the opportunity to exhibit in different World Cups, and I was exhibiting with my artwork, so I didn't have the opportunity to go to a game, but I was able to go out in the streets, and just being outside in the atmosphere of a World Cup, it's just amazing. It's unique.
Yeah.
So, yeah, even if you don't get to go to a game, you're going to be in the city, in the place where you're going to have the whole atmosphere of a World Cup.
Yeah, and I think that's what maybe Houston is still trying to understand, and we're trying to get that out there. Is that there's going to be a mass of people here that love this sport, that want to hang out, they want to party, they want to be a part of it. And by the way, the Monday Night Football, it mm-hmm. might have been my idea, but you executed it. I mean, that's incredible. I mean, just one day I call up Petir and it's like, oh, yeah, by the way, we're doing it. I'm like, man, if I could have done that.
Yeah, no,
you know, I mean, you found a grant. I mean, it's incredible. I really appreciate both of you, because both of you are spending a tremendous amount of time on this. There's a lot of passion that flows out of both of you guys, too, which I want people on the radio to truly understand. Goal Park is another initiative you're involved in, and this is around the Edo area.
Yes.
Tell us about it.
Yes, Goal Park, we've been working on it for since 2017, and finally we got the MOU from the city of Houston last week. We signed it, and we are able to implement the vision, which is going to be enhancing 7 blocks of the Columbia Tap Trail, converting that into a linear park, and we're going to have innovation, culture, athletics, and nature. So we're going to have a mini pitch, a soccer pitch, a lot of art, renewable energy, recycling water. It's going to be an amazing destination for Houstonians and for people coming out of Houston. So we're just trying to work on the funding, which is the hardest part.
Yeah, but you've gotten support from a lot of people now, right?
We are. Yeah, we have. But still, we need to close the funding, because otherwise we
That's
want to have
it,
that ready
always
by
comes
2026.
Down to, right?
Yes, unfortunately,
it
yes.
It always comes mm-hmm. Down to that. Mm-hmm. Jan-Luc, what's the next event that you have? And by the way, for all of you listening, go to some of these events. They're not only fun. Jan-Luc is also a DJ, by the way. So, I mean, I got two artistic guys here. I collect a lot of records, though. I've got hundreds and hundreds of vinyl, but I'm not artistic like these two guys. But tell us a little bit about, you know, that.
Yeah, so we started to do, I mean, initially only one event per month, right, where we bring business people together and we basically teach them and educate them about the opportunity of soccer at all the different levels, from youth all the way up to professional, from women to men. We did that about two or three times, and then it felt like there was much more to do. And so one of the things we've done is to partner up with Terry and you, right? I mean, on the watch event or on the movie events, but we're also doing watch events, so we're taking people to the stadium. So we want to support our local soccer team, the Houston Dynamo. So we do networking at the Corona Bar, where we were on Sunday. We'll repeat that. But we are also starting to do watch parties, because, for example, we're going to have the Club World Cup. That's not being played here, but why not enjoy that? And that, again, brings business to places like this. and then we'll start doing also webinar where we bring in expertise from outside, even from outside of the United States, so that we can talk about soccer. And the whole idea is get people fired up, get them excited. And as Biteri and I were talking on beforehand, right, it is still for us, I mean, at times a little bit frustrating to see how little or not enough embracement there is. I mean, there's talk about the World Cup, but we think that in general we need to be even more aggressive in our outreach. We need to go harder to the community. We need to bring people in. And for that, I think we can use more of people like all of us here, right, who are soccer aficionados, and we want to help, I mean, the city to be the best soccer
larger
city.
Larger media conglomerates and outlets need to start embracing this more in a big way and start helping to spread the word, because it's only going to benefit them.
Yep.
With viewers, listeners, engagement, all that stuff. I would imagine all the local TV stations have to begin to think about, Biteri, hiring people that know the sport.
Correct.
To help them translate what's going to actually happen and not just give it to somebody who's on your staff that maybe, you know, is an intern and is going to cover soccer for you. I mean, this is a big deal. This is 7 Super Bowls. You hear that all the time. That's the phrase that everybody's using now. But in the sense of what this is, every 4 years, indelibly etched in mind, if you make a singular play, it can change your whole life. This isn't an every-year Super Bowl. This is not a twice-a-year Liga MX championship. This is 4 years of qualification, and it's rare. It's unique.
So two things in reactions to what you said, right? I mean, you talked about the media companies. So our next event is focused on media and focused on communication, because we think there are lots and lots of opportunities for content creators, small up to big, to be part of it. And what we're witnessing is that people still have other priorities, right? The priorities is, the opening of the Astro season, right? Whereas we're like, really? I mean, yeah, that's very important, but isn't the World Cup like the biggest thing? So I think we're still with a part of the crowd out there fighting for the attention and the understanding of what this thing can do. And that takes me to maybe my second comment, right? I mean, a lot of people say it's 7 Super Bowls. I always say, no, it's 39 days or 40 days or whatever it is of World Cup soccer, right? Because you're going to get foreigners. You're going to get lots and lots of countries visiting this city. So it's for the city, and even the city, if it were to cooperate with Dallas, an opportunity for the state to shine in the eyes of the world. You know?
Pressure's on. You got to pull it off in a big way, and you have an opportunity to get people coming back. Real quickly, Biteri, where can people find you?
On social media under Artist Biteri or my website, Biteri.com.
Okay, we're going to have you guys on again. You know that, right? John Luke, where can they find Team Houston?
Team-Houston.com.
Are you really a DJ?
I am a DJ.
Paul Van Dyke?
Mr. Orange. You can find
Is that
me.
What you are,
Mr. Orange?
I didn't know that. Mr. Orange is your
techno.
How come all DJs have to have a fake name? This Paul Van Dyke guy is a German guy, and he's... I mean, he's got a different name. His name's Matthias or something. Matthias.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Great guys.
Right.
And I'll tell you
thank
what, doing an incredible job for the soccer community.
Yeah.
Biteri, thank you so much
for
coming
Monday.
In. We're going to give Batiri's great printout here in a second to some lucky person. And John-Luke Blackburn, Team Houston, thank you so much, guys, for
Thanks
coming
for
on tonight.
Thank you, Lynn.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Senate Avenue Brewery. We're going to take a break here. We're going to head out. And come back with more. We've got Olivier Finidori. You remember the Houston Hotshots when they played in the Summit, now Lakewood Church? Well, he's in the house right now. He's got a lot to talk about. I'm going to bring him back to the times where indoor soccer was being played in Houston, and that was the only pro game here at the time. We'll take a break here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com. 713, call now. Car accident, boat, motorcycle. If you get in one, well, you need the best in personal injury attorneys. It is the Daspit Law Firm bringing soccer to you. We'll take a break from Senate Avenue Brewery in Jersey Village.
Your brackets in ESPN Houston's Bracket Madness contest. Sign up now at ESPN975.com.
You're listening to Soccer Matters
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Senate Avenue Brewing Company in Jersey Village. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back, everybody. A big thank you to Senate Avenue Brewing Company here on 16,000 Diller Drive in Jersey Village. Big thanks to Andrew Mitchum tonight. Had a wonderful time out here, and we're going to finish it up strong here in a minute. I'm going to introduce our next guest, but a big thank you to Andrew and his staff. Amazing fresh small batch beer brewed right in front of your eyes, meticulously crafted. I'm drinking the Copper Ale right now, which is fantastic. Upscale food specials every day. Steak and Steins on Thursday. Fish and Chips Friday. 7 big screen TVs. Get out here. They got a beautiful patio. Dog friendly. There's a whole bunch of people out on the patio right now enjoying a beautiful night. And it's dog friendly, by the way. Maybe I bring my dog here next time. 290, you take it north if you're coming from downtown, the Heights. You take it north and you get right off at the Senate Avenue exit. It's easy. It's right there. So there you go. LSSE.net. If you want to get to the front of the line for the Gold Cup final tickets, LSSE.net. Get over there. You'll get all the information when the tickets go on sale. Big thank you, as always, to Cactus. And, of course, I got to get a mention in here real quick for Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe, our good friend Dimitri. Nico Nico's, 3 locations in Houston. You got one out on I-10. And Beltway 8, you got another in the Woodlands now, the newest venture for Dimitri and Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe, and then the original, which happens to be my favorite, in the Montrose area. You get the souvlaki, the gyro, the lamb. I mean, Mediterranean food at its best, Greek food at its best. There's none better. It's Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe. All right, joining me now, he's a former member of the Houston Hotshots. More importantly, he's a fixture in the Houston soccer community. He is the man who runs Dynamo Soccer Club in the Cypress area. And he is a guy you'll remember from playing in the Summit for the Houston Hotshots. He is Olivier Finidori. Olivier, how are you?
Glenn, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Now, he's in his tracksuit, so he's straight from the fields. Makes it here for me. I thank you very much for doing that, Olivier. And makes it here to Senate Avenue Brewing. I don't know how much driving you did, but I don't want to know right now. But
it's okay. The kids were glad that I left them alone.
Well, listen, first, before we get into the days of the Hotshots and a little history, I want to talk and remind people, 19 straight years, your club has done a kick cancer event this year, turned it into a 3v3 tournament. We had 75-plus kids out there. You guys have done this 19 years. Your staff donates their time, you donate your time, the fields are donated, and all the proceeds go back to the 501c charity, the Snowdrop Foundation. I was out there Sunday. Incredible job. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. Again, Glenn, you're the one that started this 19 years ago, and, you know, like we always talk about, it's something that is very, very important to us, something that means a lot. Like you mentioned during the camp, you know, all of us have been affected by cancer. We've lost close ones. We know people that have lost close ones. It's affected each and every one of us. So it's a very important event, and I'm glad we were able to make it a success.
Yeah, we'll make close to $4,000, but that's only part of it. The donation's part of it, but the other part of it is simply the awareness for pediatric cancer. You're sustaining it in this camp for this many years is remarkable. I mean, it's just, you know, if we want to talk about community and Houston soccer community, it's things like this. It's 19 years. So in your mind, in your club's mind, you know, tell us why this is important. I think we know, but it's important to you guys because you kept it going.
Well, obviously, it's always been important for one. You're the one that has really helped raise the awareness in the community, I know, for us. And then, of course, a few years ago, we lost one of our mentors, one of our best friends here, Marty Espinosa. We lost him to cancer, and I know that just took a whole different dimension. I know for me, for the Dynamo Soccer Club, our whole entire communities, all of our families, and that's something that we want to embrace every year. We want to make it a success. So I'm really proud of our families, of our membership, because they always want to go and tag along and support it.
Yeah, and listen, I don't think there's a soccer club in Houston that doesn't get affected, maybe a youth by cancer or some debilitating disease. So tremendous give back by Dynamo Soccer Club, and we thank them very much. And, of course, the legendary Jim Walker as well. And we would be remiss not to mention Joe B. Napier as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Joe B. was one of the driving force behind behind this camp for many years. And, you know, he's kind of passed the torch on to us. And we want to make him proud.
Olivier Finidori joining us. You also played for the Houston Hotshots back in the day at the Summit. This is when I was cutting my teeth in broadcasting, so I hope nobody goes back to listen to those broadcasts. But I want you to just kind of take us into that time period, playing at the Summit, indoor soccer, very different than the outdoor game, and just expand on it a little bit.
Well, obviously, it's so long ago, then I'll try my best. But no, I have to say this was a great time. It really, really was a great time. Obviously, at that time, there was no professional soccer here in Houston. So when Giorgio Bolenghi started that franchise and made, you know, put a team into the CISL and formed the Houston Hotshots, we were all a bunch of outdoor players. We didn't even have an indoor facility to train the first year. You know, we were able to use the Summit two, three
Trevor
times.
Trevor Dawkins, the coach? Chico Borja played for the New York
unbelievable
Cosmos.
Unbelievable teacher, because, again, it was all outdoor players. We had to train. A lot of time we train as Trek Jesuit outdoor, so we had no boards or anything like this. And he was trying to go and teach us how to play this indoor game. And I tell you what, it was a tough transition. As you remember, the first year, we fought, but we weren't very successful. Even though we had some great indoor players that came in, like Beto, and you know we had Nibo Bendovic, Mirko Castillo, guys that really helped us out. Chico Moreira, our captain, which was a great leader as well. But we were a bunch of young guys, and it took me a long time to really get used to play the indoor. But as the years went on and we progressed and we improved the squad and, you know, the whole community, the whole city was really behind us, it was really an exciting time. I mean, I had some great times with those guys. But I have to say Chico Borja to these days is the one that taught me the most on how to play indoor, because it's a totally different game, totally different game.
Yeah, Chico from New Jersey when I grew up was on the New York Cosmos. I knew his brothers, too. The indoor game and the outdoor game are two different things.
Totally.
There was a turning point when Paul Daugherty joined the team.
That's you can say that again. That was the turning point. And I remember reading the news, and then we got talking, and we heard that Paul Daugherty had been bought by the Houston Hotshots. And I heard all of the legendary Paul Daugherty, and I saw his stats, and I was expecting this big old guy to show up at training. And then I was like, where's Paul Daugherty? You know, he's like, what, 5'4"? He was probably the only guy that was shorter than me at the time. And, oh, my God, this guy just blew my mind. He was an amazing, amazing player, and he basically turned the Houston Hotshots into a winning franchise overnight. You know, as soon as he joined, we were in the playoffs, in the finals, 2 years in a row, and came close. And he was really a big part due to Paul Daugherty. He was just a fantastic player.
Sold out the Summit for those final games. I mean, unbelievable stuff. There was a great rivalry with Monterey La Raza.
Oh,
yeah. Speak to that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, the first couple of years when we played Monterey La Raza, the Summit was not our home. That was not our home team. You know, they had a lot of support.
Yeah,
I mean, it was noisy, and they were singing, and there was music.
Some things never changed, by the way.
That's right. That's right.
Tigris is coming here again.
But, I mean, it made those games just – it just brought a whole different atmosphere to the game, a whole different level. The intensity was fierce on the field. But we all respected each other off the field, you know what I'm saying? But I tell you what, these were some tough games, but it was really exciting. The Summit was packed. It was bouncing. And the first couple of years, they got the best of us, but after that, we started getting the best of them. So we got our revenge.
That was a fantastic rivalry. You got 30 seconds. Do you want France coming to Houston here in 2026?
Absolutely.
Olivier's French, so he's ready for France in the World Cup.
France needs to be there. France needs to be there, and they're going to have to go all the way this time.
How will they do?
I honestly think they'll do well. I honestly think they'll do real well. We have a lot of great players. Dembele's in form. Mbappe is finally back to himself.
Game
we have
winner.
A great back four. If we had just one big center man, like a playmaker, someone that can unlock the defenses, I think we'll be up there, though.
Olivier Finidori, thank you so much for what you do for the Houston soccer community.
Absolutely.
And your club, Dynamo Soccer Club.
Thanks for
coming here tonight. By the way, a great friend of mine as well. Big thank you to Joe George for coming out here. The big boss comes out here to do this gig for us at Senate Avenue Brewing. Also to all our great guests tonight here, including Brian McDonald, our producer back in studio, Josh Gardner, Olivier Finidori, Victor Ariza, Arnaldo Lozano, Batiri, John-Luke Blackburn, and of course, all of you who listened in, and the group of people that came out tonight. Thank you very much for coming out here tonight. The podcast of this show, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. As we end the show tonight, we'll toss out one more pair, courtesy of Andrew Mitchum, the owner here of Senate Avenue Brewing. He will toss out a pair of tickets right now to the Houston Dynamo El Salvador. Until next week, I'm Glenn Davis. Remember, soccer matters.
ESPN 97.5.